This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon, produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. It is our prayer that this program will inspire and motivate you to turn to the Scriptures alone for God's truth. The subject of authority will be addressed on this week's broadcast. Here with our cover article and guest, Jim McCarthy, is Tom McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about Himself, about His attributes such as His love, mercy, justice, and so forth. It's through the Bible alone which God communicates the truth about mankind and what He expects of us, what He requires, and most importantly, what He has done for us that we might spend eternity with Him. My ABBA studio partner on today's program is Jim McCarthy, the author of The Gospel According to Rome, among other books, producer of the video Catholicism, Crisis of Faith, and head of the ministry Good News for Catholics. Jim, the topic I want to start with today is really foundational to this program, not to mention our Christian faith, and that is looking to the Bible as our only authority, as our infallible guide regarding all things which pertain to life and godliness. In other words, that we might live our lives in the way that pleases God. The most controversial issue down through the centuries is the question of authority. Where do we find the truths revealed by God? Are they in the Bible alone, or as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, the Bible and tradition? Perhaps the question we should begin with is, why the Bible?
Well, that's a very important question, one that I've struggled with considerably in my own life, Tom. And, you know, as a young man, I was raised Roman Catholic and was taught that truth is to be found in the Scriptures and tradition as interpreted by the Catholic Church. And I lived my life accordingly. But, you know, when I began reading the Scriptures for myself in my early 20s, I found there, particularly in the Gospels, great tension between Christ and the ruling Jews of His day over this very issue. Was truth to be found in the written Scriptures, the Jewish Scriptures, or in the Scriptures plus the authoritative teachings of the rabbis, the elders of Israel? And particularly like in Mark chapter 7, he criticized them very severely for elevating the traditions of men to the same level as God's written Word. And so I made the decision I was going to put Scriptures first and foremost. And not that I can't learn from other people or from other sources, but the Scriptures would be the standard by which I'd measure everything else.
Jim, you know, we do find Jesus in the Scriptures continually saying, "You say, but it is written." I mean, He keeps referring over and over again to the Word of God, to the Scriptures.
Well, that's right. You know, he treated, in his debates with the Pharisees, for example, he treated the Scriptures as his authority. He would say, "Well, you know, what did Moses say about this? What did the Scriptures say? As it is written," repeatedly, to the point where we should really do the same thing. We're going to be Christians and follow the teachings of Christ and His example. And really what we should say, you know what, when I say I believe something as a Christian, that I can say, well, and the reason is because it is written, and because this is what Christ taught, or this is what the apostles and prophets taught, not simply, well, this is what I was told by other people, or this is what I think myself.
Again, that's absolutely true, because if we're reducing all of this to just the opinions of men, then that's all we have. And one person's opinion may be as good as another's, but we're not doing that. We believe, as the Scriptures say, thousands of times, "Thus saith the Lord," or "the word of God came to this prophet or that prophet." That seems to be the position of the Scriptures. It's in them, in themselves.
Let me introduce a couple terms here that maybe our listeners would help in understanding this discussion, Tom. If we could picture Christ and His teachings, well, originally those were given orally, and He told His disciples at the Last Supper that He was going to send the Holy Spirit to them, and the Spirit would guide them into all truth. And these men are also referred to as prophets, that the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter says, and moved them to write the Scriptures. Now, so we have the written scriptures now, the writings of the teachings of Christ. And a couple terms are important. We would call that revelation. It's the unveiling of truths through Christ and his apostles to us. Then there's the issue of transmission. How does that information get from the first century to us today? The process by which it's put into writing is called inspiration, where the Holy Spirit moves people to write.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where you and I might differ as evangelical Christians from Roman Catholics is really in the issue of transmission. The Catholic Church says that those truths have been transmitted to us today in two forms, in Scripture and tradition, in the written word and then in unwritten forms that they call traditions. And this kind of encompasses lots of things, Tom, like they say it's been transmitted in artwork,
mm-hmm.
catechisms, prayers,
music,
right. liturgy,
mm-hmm.
even just within the heart of the Catholic people down through the centuries. That doesn't sound too reliable to me, you know, that through a stained glass window truths are going to be revealed.
Right. Vague and very subjective, right?
Very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Much safer, I think, to stick to the written word as your primary source of truth and then judge other things by that. If they line up with Scripture, fine. But if they add to it or contradict it, well, then I think you got to really take a harder look.
Mm-hmm. I agree. As we go back through, as you know, Jim, I grew up Roman Catholic as well, and there were so many things that we were taught that sounded good at the time, maybe even in a sense blessed us, but you couldn't say, at least no one specifically said, this is according to the Word of God. No, this was according to the Church and Church teaching and Church tradition.
Well, that's right, you know, and just what I would encourage any person, you know, as they hold to the Christian faith, is to ask themselves, well, why do I know this is true?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know it? And is it just because another person told me, or can I turn to the Scriptures and see it in the words of Christ as relayed to us through his apostles? And we would find in the New Testament it being in agreement with the teachings of the prophets of the Old Testament. If it doesn't line up with that, I think you're on thin ice.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, I want to back up a little bit, because I'm sure there are people who are listening to the program. They may have an evangelical background, Protestant background. Some may be Catholic. But there are some who are saying, well, what are these guys arguing about? I mean, why the Bible? Why even think that there's a book or one particular source that has revealed God's truth? Well, first of all, at least it seems to me that if we don't have a source of God's revealed truth, then we're all wasting our time. I mean, if God did not reveal things about himself clearly to mankind, things that we couldn't figure out, I mean, there are certain general ideas that we know about God. For example, we just look at creation and we can see that it had to be designed. It's so incredibly complex that to think that it all came about by chance is it's really absurd. On the other hand, there are specific things about God that we can't figure out from general revelation. We need his input, and that's what the Bible claims, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and you know, as you were talking, it just kind of reminded me of, I remember when I used to go to church as a young man, often the sermon, it was rather short, but it wasn't very authoritative. You know, I kind of felt like I was just hearing somebody's opinion on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people today, Tom, have just come to the conclusion that religion is just the teachings of men. It's just a bunch of people giving their philosophy of life, and it's
right.
No better than the next guy's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a very interesting verse on this subject, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It says that at the end of Matthew 7, that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
For he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. And you know, when I first heard somebody teaching from the Bible and treating it really as the Word of God, saying this is what God says in his Word, this isn't my opinion, this isn't what sociologists or psychologists say, this is what God says in his Word, my ears kind of perked up and I go, well, no, this is different. And of course that brought me back to the question, well, how do I know it's God's Word?
Right.
But once you settle that, if you come to the conclusion this is the Word of God, well, mm-hmm. will then follow it, and you can't go wrong.
Right, and it can be settled. It's clearly revealed. We keep referring to it as God's Word, but if it is indeed God's Word, there have to be certain aspects regarding it that say, hey, this is a supernatural book, and certainly prophecy, certainly the fact that all of its, the archaeological evidence, the evidence of all those things in which it addresses are absolutely true, never have been contradicted by man with any real force. I mean, it is God's Word, isn't it?
I would have said that all of my life, but I really didn't believe it, you know, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of even people go to Christian churches, they're like that. If you stop and ask them, Tom, is the Bible the Word of God? They'd say, sure. But if you really examined, do they treat it as God's Word, you'd find no. And that's the way it was with me. I just kind of ignored it for the most part. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard to read. Mm-hmm. It was awfully big and not very interesting, it seemed to me.
And we were never encouraged to that as growing up Catholics.
No. It kind of was given the impression that only scholars can understand it, theologians. Mm-hmm. And so you better just listen to what others say who are expert in this area say that it means, because you know you as a layperson couldn't possibly figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I began reading and I began saying, well, wait a second now, most of it's just written to regular people, you know, like Paul's letter to the Corinthians was just a bunch of people living in the city of Corinth,
right?
Or Paul's letters to Timothy was just, you know, a Christian. And I began to read and say, well, you know, if I put my mind to it, is it that difficult? And began to understand parts of it and became fascinated with its message, that here's God speaking to us. Well, I always said it was God's Word, but now I began to treat it as such.
Right. And as we do, it amazes. I mean, it amazed me right from the beginning, just the idea that could this really be God speaking? And then as you read through what he has to say, it transforms your life.
That's right. You know, I think a lot of people say, well, that's just a matter of faith, though, Tom. That's your faith that you believe it's God's Word, and thereby you treat it as such. But how do you really know? You know, how can you really know this is the inspired Word of God? And again, I'd come back to Jesus. Jesus taught it was the inspired Word of God. And if he treats it as inspired, the very words of God, Paul says God-breathed words, well, then so should I.
Right. Jim, we got about a little less than a minute left in this segment, and we're going to continue on with the subject. Obviously, we can't cover it in these few minutes that we've had the opportunity to exchange. But what would be your encouragement to people listening with regard to the Word of God?
I'm sure you got some listeners right now, Tom, are going, well, how do these guys know, you know, and who's right? And people don't even like controversy today, you know, on these issues. Can't we all just agree on everything? But the fact of the matter is, people are teaching different things, saying that Christ taught truths that different Christians disagree on. And if we're ever to get the bottom of it, who's right, we're going to have to settle the issue of authority. Where do we find the truth? And I've settled that for myself. It's in God's holy word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Tom will continue his discussion on the subject of authority next week with guest Mike Gendron. You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Jim will respond to questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
From one of our listeners, this guy writes, it seems like you guys bend over backwards trying to find differences between religions, even between Christian denominations. I believe God's approach is much broader than your nitpicking approach. Don't you know that you are turning off a lot of non-Christians? Jim, you probably get letters like this. You know, we get them all the time in this ministry. And on the one hand, it seems like they've got a point. We certainly don't want to be hair splitters or nitpickers. And we do believe in the unity of the faith. But it seems to me the scriptures say very clearly that that should be based on truth, God's Word, right?
Well, yeah, I guess this is a kind of an issue we can relate to, Tom. I think as Christians, we don't want to be nitpickers. You know, the Lord said we shouldn't be taking the speck that's in our brother's eye and plucking it out all the time and not to have a judgmental mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's fair to characterize the issues we're talking about as nitpicking. We're not talking about non-consequential issues that are insignificant and nonsensical. We're talking about the most important issue in anybody's faith, and that's the question of authority. How do you know what's true? And if one person says, well, you know what's true by listening to the church, and somebody else says, no, you find out what's true by reading the scriptures, those are two very different answers. They're going to give you a very different result.
Right.
So I think we're dealing with the most important issues, foundational issues, Tom, not nits.
And you mentioned earlier, Jim, that people have an idea out there that religious issues are just anybody's opinion. Why make a big deal out of it? Because this guy believes one way and another person believes in another way. Well, if there are variations on something that's true, you know, we could give them some room, cut them some slack there. But as you said, Jim, if the opinions are contradictory, they both can't be true, they both can't be correct, they both can't be right, then we've got a problem.
You got a big problem, because this deals with even issues of salvation, Tom. You know, how is a person made right with God? One party is saying, well, it's through a sacramental system, beginning with baptism, through a life of good works and obedience to the commandments of God. You show yourself to be righteous before God. You merit eternal life. And when you die, eventually you'll make it there.
Mm-hmm.
Another group is saying, no, we're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And that it's through faith in the finished work of Christ. It's a gracious act of God whereby he justifies the one who believes.
Mm-hmm.
And gives them eternal life as an unmerited reward.
Right.
Now, who's right?
Well, even more than that, I mean, certainly we want to know which side is right, but one is clearly a rejection of the other.
So, that's exactly right.
So they can't both mutually exist without there being dire consequences.
And that's exactly right. And I think of the epistle to the Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this very issue. Does a person made right with God through faith in Christ and obedience to commandments, or through faith alone? And Paul treats this very severely, saying that if anybody preaches a gospel contrary to the one which has been delivered to the Galatians, let that person be accursed. And so we're not talking about, well, you know, all roads lead to heaven, just take whatever road you want. But Christ said there's one way, there's a narrow way, and if we're going to know that way, we better get our issue of authority clear. And for me, that's God's word, and I'm going to follow the way of salvation taught in the scriptures. I just can't do what other people are telling me if it's contrary to that.
Mm-hmm. Jim, the next question we have is really related to you personally. And I think it's a good one. As a former Catholic, I really enjoyed Jim McCarthy's video, Catholicism, Crisis of Faith. So I'm curious to know about his own personal crisis of faith as a Catholic. Jim, before you start to answer the question, that's a terrific video, by the way. For most of our listeners who haven't seen the video, it really has former Roman Catholic priests, Roman Catholic nuns sharing the crisis that they went through, how they came to a different authority than that which they were under, and to the Word of God.
We give God the glory for it, Tom, and thankful that he's used it to help many people find him. You know, as far as my own crisis of faith, I was raised in a very devout Catholic family. My parents were immigrants from Ireland, and three of my uncles were Catholic priests, and two of my aunts were nuns, and all my brothers and sisters and I went through the parochial school system through high school. I really can say I loved the Catholic Church and appreciated what I had received from it, and really my experience was good. I my teachers were wonderful people who just were giving their lives in the service of others. Priests I knew were men of integrity, hardworking, and devoted to the people of the parish. And our whole lives just kind of revolved around the parish. I'm sure you can relate to that. I grew up in San Francisco, you know, in a city environment. The church is so important. So I'm very grateful for what I received. But as an adult, when I began to read the scriptures, that's when my crisis of faith came, and I began to see myself, not the church, but myself in a different light, as really a sinner who, despite my own rationalizations of the way I was living and what I was doing, that I was lost and needed to be saved. And I didn't really know God, and it was evident because of my conduct and my attitudes. And I put my faith in Christ as my Savior, and He saved me. He changed me, and I've been the same since. This really didn't have so much to do with the Catholic Church at that time, but over the next 2 years, Tom, as I began to study the Scriptures more, mm-hmm. I also began a study of Catholic theology and saying, I think the main issue was, why didn't I learn this gospel of salvation through my 12 years of religious education? Why wasn't I hearing it Sundays at the Mass?
Right. Many can identify with that who are former Catholics.
Yeah, and it was a really hard time. But after 2 years, I just came to the conclusion, you know, I just couldn't reconcile what I was reading in Scripture with what the Church was teaching. And I decided to leave the Church. It was the hardest decision I've ever had to make. But I felt I had to follow the Scriptures and follow my conscience. And that's why I made the video. I just feel that I wanted to communicate to people those truths that are so evident in the Scriptures that many others Catholics have also found.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I can identify so much with what you're talking about. I as well, as a former Catholic, and not only appreciated so much about my education, the relationships I had with people in the church, but it's our heart's cry for all those friends, relatives, loved ones, former teachers, priests, nuns, and so forth, that they would have a heart for God's Word, that they would search the Scriptures to see if the things that they were taught by the Church are indeed true. So that's what this program is about, not just for Roman Catholics, but also for evangelicals who have a heart for relatives, friends, and so forth that they want to share God's Word with. That's the bottom line, I believe.
Well, I agree, Tom. It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Protestant. You need to be right with God and know where His truths are found. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Jim, we're going to pick up next week with some of our other cohorts in Reaching Catholics for Christ, Mike Gendron and later Greg Durrell. So we hope to continue this conversation again with you and the other guys, and that the Lord would use these things to His glory.
If you have questions for Tom to address in future programs, stay tuned. We'll let you know where to send them in just a moment. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, produced and distributed by the Berean Call. And now, to tell you more about Reaching Catholics for Christ, here's Tom McMahon.
The primary mission of Reaching Catholics for Christ is to support former Catholics and other believers in their endeavor to personally minister the biblical gospel to their Catholic loved ones, friends, and acquaintances. Reaching Catholics for Christ is committed to increase the effectiveness of ministries which have been called to proclaim the biblical gospel to Catholics, and to help such ministries educate the body of Christ as to the unbiblical nature of Roman Catholic salvation. Our hope, prayer, and encouragement is that all who call themselves Christians will take to heart the words of Jesus. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. Gary?
Our ministry offers many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A0910, and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week for another edition of According to God's Word.